morning. It's good to be with everyone today. Good to see you here. I want to make just a couple of announcements before I start the lesson. Number one, in the bulletin, there's an article that I'd like to point out to you because, in case you haven't noticed, there's an election that's going to come up, you know, later in the year. And I found an article that Brent Hunter wrote. It's called How to Pray for America. And there's, you know, different points in here on specific things to pray for, and I thought it's a good reminder of you know, letting God know and praying for specific things. Pray that God will turn people's hearts toward Himself and that He will be glorified in the outcome. Pray that God's people will demonstrate a spirit of repentance and prayer. Pray that Americans will see their spiritual poverty. Pray that godly men and women will be placed in positions of authority. So there's some very specific things here and scripture references that go along with each one of those points. So if you'd like to pick up the bulletin and take that with you, I think it's well worth reading. Another announcement is that we are starting a new quarter in our Bible class next Sunday. And the Bible class material for the book of James is here on the front row. If you'd like to pick that up. We've got plenty of copies of that, so be sure to get one of those. And also just some more specific detail about those that are ill. Mike Massey is still in the hospital. He had his surgery, but they're, you know, dealing with some insurance issues on getting him into rehab following his procedure. So, you know, keep him in your prayers. Also, Rebecca Kent is home following her surgery. She's doing well. She's trying to just manage the pain, and that's getting better, but she's going to be off her feet for, you know, a few weeks. So just more detail on those specific situations, and remember to take the bulletin with you. If we run out, I'll post it or email that to you if you want that article. Since I knew we were going to have several people out today, I decided not to continue with the series. And we'll pick back up with that when all of our regular folks are back. And so today I want to talk with you about the Thanksgiving lesson that I didn't do at Thanksgiving. This would have been my other choice. But, you know, thanking through it. And the reference point here is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. As was read this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Excuse me just one second. I've got a problem here with my computer. Okay. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so this is a very, you know, well-referenced and well-known passage that we read quite often. I just want us to slow down and think about what Paul thought as he came to the end of this first letter to the Thessalonian Christians. What he said after he said to pray without ceasing and give thanks and rejoice always, that this is the will of God for you. That this is the will of God's will in Christ for you, that you do these things. But he also tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. And I know that we know this. This is not, you know, something that's new, but it is something that really trips us up many times to give thanks in all circumstances. As we sit around Thanksgiving, it's something that people tend to think about at different times of year, but people especially think about giving thanks when something good has happened to them. If they have any kind of of idea or gratitude toward God, certainly, you know, they should be thankful when good things happen, or just being thankful for the good things that we presently have, or the things that we're experiencing in our homes, in our family, in our jobs, and when things are going well. But Paul doesn't say just to give thanks when things are going well. He does not say give thanks when you can clearly see God's blessings in your life, or give thanks only when you receive answered prayers that are answered the way that you wanted them to be answered. Of course, those are reasons that you would give thanks, and you certainly would do that in those situations. But notice that Paul says give thanks in every circumstance. And do we sometimes have those when it rains, it pours types of situations? You know, I'll just tell you a few, and you can fill in the blanks with your own. But it seems like whenever you have a windfall of some type, there's always something that happens to take that windfall. Oh, I've got a little extra money. Well, the transmission goes out in the Armada. The air conditioner goes out in the house. I don't have the money to fix that, but I've got to have air conditioning. Uriel tells me I've got to have it, you know. Or that, and the joke in my family when I was growing up is that car without air conditioning, my dad said it does have air conditioning. It's called 440, and you've heard that before. The four windows down and going 40 miles an hour. You know, that gives you air conditioning. We think, well, I've got to have that. Or, you know, there's something happens to the roof. There's water damage. There's a fire. There's medical bills because deductibles are so high. And health problems. So it sometimes feels like there may be times that everything's breaking. Just this past week, I was so proud of myself because, you know, our dishwasher broke. And I called somebody and told him what the error was on it. He said, oh, you don't want to try to fix that. It's not going to be worth fixing. It's going to cost you hundreds of dollars to do it. So I started looking at different options on Lowe's website, Home Depot. I don't really want to buy a new dishwasher. So I got on YouTube and found the error code, and there was instructions there. It's probably this part. And so I pulled the thing out and jiggled some wires like they said to do. You know, if you're lucky, it's just the harness has come loose. It wasn't that. And so I ordered the part from Amazon. I figured, well, if the part didn't fix it, I'll just return it. And it fixed it, so I saved myself a lot of money. And I'm not a handy person, so this is really a big event in my life. But so I didn't want to spend a lot. So that was a good thing. But you think about all of these things that go wrong. And Paul says even when everything in your house is breaking, your car is breaking, your kids just got their driver's license and your insurance doubled, you know, all of these different things that happen, Paul says you need to be thankful anyway in all circumstances. But what about when things go really, really wrong? You know, diseases and sicknesses and depression and family problems and death. Do I still have to be thankful? Well, Paul says, in all circumstances. So how am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to be thankful when everything's falling apart? Well, I think we can, you know, surmise that Paul can be speaking from experience. We were talking about this morning, Paul's thorn in the flesh. And he said, you know, he prayed fervently that that might be removed three times, and God said, "My grace is sufficient." And so we know, we don't know what that thorn in the flesh was, though we can talk about it, but we know that he didn't have an easy life as a Christian. He was persecuted, he was in prison, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was betrayed, he had friends that turned their back on him, he was stoned nearly to death. But this same person that had all of those things happen to him is telling us to give thanks in all circumstances. So in our lesson today, I want to think about four different things that they can maybe help us with our faith and change our way of thinking to help us be thankful in all circumstances. One of the most obvious things is that we need to change our thoughts. And why is that? Why do we need to do that? Well, Paul tells us why. Why do I need to do that? Not because Randy said it, because Paul said it is God's will for you. It is God's will for you to give thanks in all circumstances. So just really think about that point. That it's God's will for you. We don't need to turn our back on that. We are expected to be thankful and people filled with gratitude. And so it's not a hard reach to see that point here. And why is that? Because everything that we have comes from God. Everything that we have comes from God. And that's a real key point that's very easy to forget, because everything we are, everything we have, everything that we think we work so hard for is from God. Let's look at what Paul had to say about that in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 24. "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. In him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, we indeed are his offspring." And so Paul here in Greece is telling them that all these idols, these false gods that you worship, are not the right one. The real God is the one who made the world and everything in it. And he made everything happen. He's the one that determined, you know, the night and the day, and made everything that you have. And in him you live, and in him you exist. So Paul's point is, it is God's will for you to be thankful. Why? Because he made everything. He made us. And it's because of God that you live and breathe and move and exist. So this brings us to another way of thinking that we need to consider. And this might be a little shocking way to put this, but I hope you'll listen and understand. But our problems are from God's blessings. How is it? That sounds backwards, doesn't it? It sounds wrong. Randy has totally lost it. But let me illustrate it, and just bear with me. Let me illustrate it, and then we'll look at a scripture that helps us to understand this more. My problems with my old van that we had, that I drove back and forth to work with no air conditioning, my problems with my van are because God blessed me to have a van. My problems with the roof on my house and my air conditioning and everything else that might be wrong with the house, or because God blessed me to have a house. So, I can be thankful when things are breaking because God gave me the things that are breaking. And I know you're thinking, Randy, this is just too much of a stretch. You're really being silly. How can I be that thankful? Let me make this point a little bit harder. If I have family problems, it's because God has blessed me with a family. If I have work problems, it's because God has blessed me with a job. If I suffer loss, it's because God gave me something to enjoy and now it's taken away. And if you're ahead of me here, you might know where I'm going with this. And it's Job. Listen to what Job said. What happened to Job? Let's look in Job chapter 1, verse 13. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and there came a messenger to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you." If I were Job, about the second time that happened, I think I would go lock the door and say, "We're closed for the day. I don't want any more visitors." And of course, you know, we know the background here, how Satan was allowed to do these things. And what is Job's response? Verse 20 says, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong." And so when I told you my problems with my air conditioning, my problems with the van, my problems with house, problems with family, problems with the job, you can see what happened here. What did Job do when all of these things were taken away? He worshipped. How could he do that? Because he said, "I started with nothing, and I end with nothing, and everything else that I have had has been given to me by God. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away." So, when I told you that our problems are from God's blessings, that's what Job is saying. Job sees that his problems have come because I've been gifted these things. I've had these things temporarily to enjoy. God gave me things. God gave me wealth, and now it's gone. But he said, "That's okay. That's okay, because I started with nothing, and everything is a blessing from God." And these are serious things that Job lost. It wasn't just about things. It was about family too. And he said, "I started with nothing." And of course, when you read the rest of the book of Job, we don't want to pretend that Job didn't have questions about the situation, because he did. But this says, in all of this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Yeah, he had questions, but he didn't charge God with wrong. He had this right way of thinking that I can be thankful in the hard times and in the times of suffering, the times of loss. What is he looking at? He's sitting there jotting down, I lost this, I lost this, I lost this. No, he's not looking at that. And we need to be more thankful. Not concentrating on what is lost, but what we were able to enjoy. If you have good health, you certainly need to be thankful for that. But what if we don't have good health, Randy? Be thankful that you did. Be thankful for the time that you did have good health. Those of us that have lost, you know, family members, perhaps we saw different kinds of attitudes that they may have had toward that, but I'm certainly thinking about my father. I never heard my father complain about a situation. Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? He led a life of thankfulness. And so, whatever you don't have, be thankful for what you did have. Be thankful for what you do have. And you see what Job is showing us here is the way to think. How are you going to get through? Have the attitude that Job did. The things that I have had were from God. And I'm losing something that I had and now I don't, but it's from God's hand and I'm not going to turn my back on God. Another reason we need to think about being thankful is because we need to know that the lack of thanksgiving is something that's very destructive. We miss out on a lot of things if we don't have gratitude in our life. And the destruction that we inflict on ourselves is bad when we're not thankful. Certainly Paul referenced that in Romans. I don't know if I've got that on the slide. But Romans chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Some of you can probably quote this from memory. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived that since creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So you hear what Paul says happens to us when you don't honor God or give thanks to Him. He says that the result of the lack of thanksgiving is that you become futile and worthless in your thinking. That ungrateful hearts lead to broken thinking, and gratitude leads to having worthless thinking and dark and foolish hearts. I don't know that we consider that to be so important, that we really think about thankfulness being so important. Let me ask you this. The person that is thankful in all circumstances, when you run across that person, you think, yeah, they're just about like everybody else that I meet. That everybody, you know, most of the people that I meet in the world just are happy and they're thankful and they're not greedy and they're not moaning about their situation. No, when you meet somebody like that, that has this kind of attitude that Job displayed, you think, oh, you know, they're different. And you know, Paul tells us that if we are not thankful and don't look at what we have the way Job did, then you are ruining your life to the point of self-destruction. But if you look at what Paul said as it continues in chapter 1, 28 through 31. He says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. So you see what he's saying there? That the ones that are not thankful, the ones that do not see fit to acknowledge God, it led them down the path of all of this list of things that are horrible. Envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossip, slanderous, haters of God. All that is rolling downhill from the person that doesn't recognize God or is faithful to Him. The ones that did not know God or honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, this is the result. This is the result. And so you wonder how people become foolish. You wonder how people become faithless and ruthless and heartless and full of all of these things. Paul is saying, I'm telling you where it came from. The starting point is a lack of thanksgiving to God. And then all these other things come along with that. So I hope you see that ingratitude is something that is self-destructive. And so we need to change our way of thinking to be grateful people. And I think we see that here in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 8, 5 verse 18. To be thankful in everything. So find the path of thanksgiving even though you know there may be pain and hurt and loss. Thanksgiving in all circumstances needs to be possible. Is it possible? Paul says it is. And we may think, no, it's not possible when if you had this happen to you and that you would not be preaching this sermon. You would ever suggest that we could be thankful. Now Paul says be thankful in all circumstances. And you don't have to know much about Paul to know that he had a lot of things going on that were difficult. So find thanksgiving in all circumstances. Why? Because God told you to. So let's think about some challenges for doing this. First of all, if my life is blessed, will I be thankful? I think that's probably a pretty easy one. So it says a lot about your spiritual condition. If you're going through relatively good times and feel like you have good things happening, and despite of all the good that you have, you still find it really hard to be thankful. An old corny illustration in one of the lesson books I've got in the office, it's talking about gratitude, and it talks about the farmer who couldn't be thankful for anything, and somebody said, he can never say anything nice, but he's got such a good crop of apples this year. He said, you certainly can't complain about that. Oh, you've got such a great crop. You're going to make so much money from this. Yeah, but I don't have any rotten ones to feed the pigs. Yeah. Yeah, he found something negative in all of that. And so it says a lot about our spiritual condition if we find reasons to complain, even in the midst of blessings and good times. So think about that. If you find a reason to complain when life is good, you know, well, I know things are good, but they sure could be better. Yeah, well, yeah, things could always be better, but if I'm going to focus on my problems and my pains, then you're not going to be a happy person, and you're not doing what Paul said is God's plan for our life. And your soul is in jeopardy. So if my life is blessed, will I be thankful? You certainly should. Well, what if I lose all? Will I be thankful? How are we supposed to be thankful in the midst of that? Well, we saw the example of Job. And he could see that what he had in the first place, everything that he had is now lost. But if it breaks, it's because God originally gave it to me. If it's lost, well, it's because you know, God blessed me with that, and I had it for a while, and now I don't. And I think Job is such a good reminder for us that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But Job said, either way, God's going to be glorified. He's going to worship God no matter what and be appreciative for what he had while he had it. What if life just doesn't go the way that I wanted? I think every time somebody sees a movie about time travel or, you know, Back to the Future or any of them, doesn't everybody think, oh, if I could do that, if I could just go back in time, the things that I would do differently. And people, as they age, they think, you know, this didn't really turn out the way that I thought it was. You know, this what I'm doing now is not really what I planned. And, you know, I don't know what happened all the time. I got old before I knew it. I just didn't accomplish or didn't get what I wanted to get. If life doesn't go the way you thought it was going to go, can you still be thankful? People have a vision of what they expect their lives to be. And I don't know of many people that can say, everything happened exactly the way I thought it was going to be. You know, when I was a kid, here's what I wanted to do, and I was going to do this, I was going to have this job, I was going to have 2.5 kids and 3 houses and all these things. And everything happened exactly the way that I thought it was going to. People ask me all the time when I was growing up, because my dad was a preacher, are you going to be a preacher like your dad? No, I'm not going to preach. I mean, I didn't say it like that, but that was, I would make a joke. You know, and my dad thought this was funny, because you're going to think this is horrible when I tell you what I said. But if somebody asked me, are you going to be a preacher like your dad? I said, no, I'm going to be a good one. Yeah. And he repeated that story more than I did, actually, because he thought it was fun. But it wasn't my plan to preach. But I started doing it, started filling in, and Elliotsville asked me to fill in. And I'm still filling in. So things don't always go the way that you thought they were going to. And sometimes things turn out a lot better than what you thought they were going to. So my point is, if life doesn't go exactly the way that you thought it was going to go, did life go the way Lot thought it was going to go? Was Lot expecting all those things to happen? Certainly not. Not Lot, but Job. For many, their lives are not even close to what they envisioned, but they could still be thankful. And Paul said in Acts chapter 17 that we already read, who is in charge? You're not. You know, God that created it all is in charge. And so God is in control over creation, and you're living in that creation, and it's because of Him that you live and move and exist, and God has you here right now. So what are you going to do with that? Are you going to be thankful that God gave you right now, right here in your life? Can you accept good from God? And can you not accept trouble also? That's what Job said. Job's wife, one of the things he did not lose, you know, said that you should quit. You should curse God and die. And he said, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. He lost his health. He lost many friends. And she says, just throw it all away. And what he says in verse 10, shall we accept only good from God and not adversity? So can I accept the good from God's hand but also not accept adversity? Can I be thankful through any circumstance because I see God's mercy and blessings. One thing that constantly comes to mind when we're talking about difficulties and things that are hurtful and struggles that people have, that death is not the worst thing that can happen to us. And that's what everybody seems to think, is that death is the worst thing that can happen. It's the worst thing that can happen to somebody that's not prepared to meet God. And don't we take so much comfort in knowing that when we lose a loved one that we know has lived a life of faithfulness to God, we don't have to be concerned about them. We know that they are just fine because they were prepared. And so let's not lose sight of the goal. And when we choose to be unthankful, many times because we're so wrapped up in this world that we can't think about anything but what's going on around us and what we have and what we don't have and how comfortable we are, or if we're in pain or if we're not in pain, because we're so wrapped up in life that we forget to prepare for death. So let's take Paul's encouragement here to be thankful in all circumstances. I know this is a very simple lesson, but sometimes these simple instructions are some of the hardest to do. Be thankful, because it's God's will for our lives. If we can help you in any way to be prepared for a life in heaven, and you haven't prepared, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Instead of 87, please turn to number 626. that song the day at the James May stuff actually the letter I didn't choose that song and I mean it's very well with the Rain's two lessons and you don't know the story behind that. You look it up. It's great. Do you need to mention anything about this? Not, then we'll be but in our closing prayer and we'll be serious.
Dearest Heavenly Father, we come before Thee this afternoon with great thanksgiving for the blessings that You've afforded us. At the moment that we are mindful that we have been able to come here safely, that we've been able to gather with those of like precious faith and share our faith with one another as we studied Your Word, as we worshiped You in song and in prayer, and in service and observance of the Lord's Supper, the great sacrifice that was made for us. In all these things, Father, we are so thankful and happy that we have a relationship with You and that You have made us Your own. We're mindful, Father, that we are blessed every day with very much life itself, but then the great abundance of things that we enjoy in this world and this country, that You have blessed us highly among men, well-favored. We pray, Father, that You'd be with our country and the decisions that are made that provide those things, but we know that all the bounty comes from Your hand, and we seek You first and Your kingdom, and then we count on You to add those things that we need. You are blessed that You provide so many of our wants and desires above that. Please let those things never betray us and have us stray away from You. May we never take them for granted, but recognize You as the source, You as the giver, the lover, that You have provided for us and that You show Your loving kindness to us every day. We pray, Father, for those that are away from us now and ask You to bring back them to us safely. They may be with us at the next service and be home with their families. We thank You, Father, for the encouragement that it is to be with brethren and that we will take that with us as we go throughout this week, continuing to seek to serve You and remembering that we are not alone in this world. We have brethren, and of course we walk with You in the footsteps of Your dear Son. Guide us, Father. Guard us in this life. Keep us faithful that we might live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, that we may hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and can enter into the home of Thee in heaven. We pray all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.